the Lord will be there. He'll give you wisdom and insight. I think our job is to say, okay, what is it that I want to be teaching, and be sensitive to the Spirit's leading? Because sometimes we can be just so overwhelmed by everything else that we're not in the moment with our children, and then we just miss those small, precious, teachable moments.
Craig Stickling and Brian Suter, great to have you along today.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you.
So you bring that little bundle of joy home you've been waiting 9 months for, and you soon realize that there were more instructions for the baby bed than there was for the child.
It's a wonder that it makes it, that's for sure. Yeah, it just seems so fragile.
Sometimes it's good you don't know what you don't know yet, and you can rest in that ignorance, but they will quickly let you know that you need to know a little more than what you do.
So as we talk about this concept of parenting, maybe a presupposition, maybe a little groundwork, if God has blessed you with a child, He has equipped you to be the parent.
Yeah, and I think that's such great news for parents, Matt, because I think that's so true that as we walk through Scripture, as you think about it, God is faithful to just continue to bless you with the skills, the grace, and the wisdom that you need for the task in front of you. And that's really good for parents when you come home and you don't have a clue what you're doing.
But it's also something that we should grow in. The hope here is I can grow. There are some teaching points. Brian, where are we going to go with this particular series? I mean, there's 1,000 things we could talk about with parenting. Provide a little bit of scope.
To start off with is just the vision for parenting, and with that, how you instruct them towards that. And then the other places we want to focus on are relationship with your child and how that facilitates instruction, and then also discipline, how that comes into play when there's been, you know, when child's not following instruction.
As a teacher, I like to think of teaching as being very optimistic. What do I want to accomplish this year? What are going to be my major take-homes? If nothing else gets done, these kids are going to learn this, right? Very optimistic part. Mm-hmm. And so I like to use that a little bit as the backdrop as we talk about parenting. Parenting in that same way has some optimism to it as well, doesn't it? When we think about what is it that we want our children to learn?
Yeah, I think that is. That's such a great picture, Matt. And I think, not being a teacher myself, but what I appreciate about what you're talking about there is, as a teacher, it sounds like you have a goal of where you want to end up. And then that helps give you some markers along through the school year of, okay, at this point, we want to be here. And then we teach this concept, and that builds to this concept. And that's really the heart of what we want to encourage parents with, is that you've been blessed with a great opportunity to impact that child that God's put into your home, and with some vision and some purpose. By God's grace, you have a great opportunity to shape their heart.
Craig, help us with this visioning piece. What are some fruit, or what are some end goals that we might have for our children?
Well, the Word definitely blesses us with a picture of the fruit of the Spirit, right? And whether our kids learn that in Sunday school, or we get to teach that at home, the love and the joy and the peace, that heart that is changed by God. The Bible gives us great examples of where He wants us to lead our kids and our families.
So here's an example where you're lifting some qualities out of the Scriptures.
Yeah, and that's so fundamental. You know, if you think about, if you don't take the time to think about where you want to head with your child, the culture will shape that, and you'll end up pursuing things that aren't coming from the Scriptures. And what a detriment that you pursue a vision that's not the ultimate vision.
Bible talks about, you know, where there is no vision, what? The people will
perish.
Well, people perish. And our kids are the same way. They desire to have a vision. They desire to know, this is what our home stands for. This is what mom and dad stand for.
When you think of those virtues, lists of virtues in the Scriptures, the Beatitudes come to mind, right?
Yeah.
So there's another set.
Exactly. And in that, it gives you, you get the opportunity to teach your child a different economy than what they're going to see around them.
You know? Okay. Now, I'm going to stop, and I want you to explain that a little bit more, Brian, because that is, I think, very challenging, a different economy. So one of the tactics of a teacher is comparison. That's one of the age-old tactics. You compare. You put one thing right next to another thing, and you say, look at these, see how they are different, see how they are alike. And so that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Different economy. What do you mean by that in terms of what other economy?
Right. So, for example, if you just look at one of those, like, for example, blessed are the poor in spirit. that is something the scripture values, that you see yourself as someone who is in need, who needs a savior, whereas the world around us says, no, you're great. Look how wonderful you are, and you don't need anybody. And if you just look inside yourself, you're going to see hope. But that's not what the scriptures teach us.
Yeah.
But instead, those that are poor in spirit, those are the ones that inherit the kingdom of God.
Blessed are the hungry.
Yeah.
Blessed are the meek.
And those that mourn.
Blessed are those that mourn.
That doesn't make any sense in our world.
Right.
Beatitudes are a great picture of how Christ was wanting his followers to learn how to relate and engage with other people around them. That's to communicate the message of the gospel and his teachings.
Ten Commandments. Okay. Mm. Here's another important list given to us in the scriptures. How do we take this and where do we go with it?
So, for example, you just take one, thou shalt not kill. Like, there's so much that's laid on about sanctity of life and God being the creator and the soul being within a human. Like, you can go so many places as you pour into your child why it's not right to kill and you know, fundamental beliefs about abortion and what it means to treat other people, even if they believe different things and so on and so forth, that only the scriptures give us, and only the Christian worldview gives us an opportunity to teach those things.
You know, Brian, as you talk about worldview and you talk about other people's thoughts and beliefs, leads me to another age-old basic teaching principle, and that is if-then. Teach a person, if this occurs, then that is going to occur. Make a connection between cause and response, right?
Mm.
And doesn't that seems to be a lot of what you're talking about.
Mm.
If we believe this, then we believe that, and we act this way. Powerful teaching concepts, right?
Yeah,
for our children.
Yeah, and that concept, Matt, is right wrapped into probably one of the most, you look at the Ten Commandments, the one commandment that really gears toward mom and dads and kids is honor your parents, honor your mother and father. Because what? There's a promise then. So that if you learn how to honor, then there's a promise that God has designed and presented for that. And so that's a great reminder of that principle for our kids.
Well, certainly a basic if then that we're always teaching is if you disobey, then this is the consequence, right? If you leave the chicken gate open, then we will have dead chickens in the morning. Sounds like I kind of have been through that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know that God knows where all the sparrows and maybe even chickens fall, but he loves us even greater, doesn't he? And he has that desire in our hearts to learn how to be obedient to the word. And mom and dads get that first opportunity. It's in that commandment, that first opportunity to teach our children about obedience. That's a great way of keeping the soil of their heart prepared for the gospel, the good news of the gospel, to be able to follow the teachings of the word.
Craig, when I hear you say that, I can tell there is a deep-rooted belief in what you're saying, that teaching your children to obey is so much larger than the house running smoothly, following your directions, or even showing you respect. But there is a future projected vision here of this lesson of obedience in the gospel.
We had a story at our supper table once about one of our daughters to go get the butter, and my wife had asked one of my daughters to go get the butter, and she was not obeying. She was not listening to that. And I remember just pausing for a moment and kind of saying, okay, I have a chance to respond. And is this about the butter, or is this about that my daughter did not listen to a command, that something that my wife shared with her? And I could have made this all about the butter, but I remember just having that one of the few moments of parent clarity for a moment to say, oh, this is about your mom asked you to do something. That was the issue that we hit, and it wasn't about the butter.
Yeah.
And as you cast this larger vision of we want our children to think first about what does God desire for them, that's the thing that drives all of their life, you know, and that we get to reflect that in our own lives and show that. And if we can get them there, what a glorious place,
right?
as a parent, a believing parent, to say, I want my child to first ask the question, what does God want, and to be ruled by him.
As we talked about, throwed words around like respect and honor, they definitely have the overtones of character. And so then when we talked about character qualities, a great deal of character qualities, and that's got to be an intended end that we want out of our children, right?
No matter what character is being learned. What we want is the right type of character to be able to be used in the right time, the right application, the right understanding. And for us to be looking for those moments, to be able to bring that out, to know that there's so many situations where character lessons and topics can be presented, can be talked through, can be shared in the good or the bad, but it's our opportunity to be looking for those.
What are some specific character qualities?
I think a one that comes to mind right away, Matt, that is really rooted in the golden rule, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. A huge character piece is that ability to have empathy, to understand what is someone else going through. Okay, I could take that last piece of something that was supposed to be my sister's, but if I took that, that's good for me. But what would she be going through if someone did that to me?
Mm-hmm. What are some other tools that a parent could use to say, all right, I've got empathy in mind. I want my children to understand empathy. How might we direct those lessons?
So for example, even just as you read the Bible story, let's say you're reading a story and let's say you're reading about David and Goliath, okay? And you're walking through that story and you might pause and just say, what do you think might have been going on for David? What do you think might have been going on for those other soldiers? What do you think was going on for King Saul?
How do you think he was feeling?
Yeah.
How do you think that statement would have struck him?
Is you're just trying to help them see there's other people and they have a soul and they have a mind and they think and feel just like you do. And being able to do that is a wonderful skill to be able to connect with people, to love people and care about the people.
Now I've got integrity in mind, looking to where I see it play out.
One thing that comes to mind for me is I remember as a young man, there was a neighbor who needed to borrow our tractor for a job. And I thought, oh, I wonder what we'll get in return for letting them borrow our tractor, because this particular neighbor owned a fireworks stand. So in my mind, I'm thinking, cha-ching.
You mean you weren't even wondering?
No, it's true. Yeah. And I remember my mom sitting with me and saying, you know, son, we're just giving that for them to use and we don't expect anything in return. Like, that still is ingrained in my mind. And it was such a great lesson of we do with integrity in the sense that you give just to give and not out of a selfish motive of I'm going to give this because they have that and maybe I'll get, you know.
I love that this lesson impacted you. You remembered it for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out of real life. It really wasn't in a classroom.
No.
But it was like the time presented itself for the lesson to be taught, and your mother seized upon that opportunity and taught that lesson.
I think that's a great challenge to us, to be looking for those moments, right? Those are short little moments, aren't they? They're just little brief little spots that just like flash like a sunset. If you're not watching for it, it's going to be gone. And that we have those moments with our kids to be able to put that positive connection to something. And kids are able to remember those.
I think I would encourage parents to not complicate it and just to let life unfold. And the Lord will be there. He'll give you wisdom and insight. I think it's our job is to say, okay, what is it that I want to be teaching and be sensitive to the Spirit's leading? Because sometimes we can be just so overwhelmed by everything else that we're not in the moment with our children. And then we just miss those small, precious, teachable moments.
But what I hear you say too, Brian, is some calculation. What do I want? And that's part of what we want to accomplish in this episode, to spur on some thoughts of, wow, maybe this. Ooh, I could teach that. Wow, what if my kids understood that?
Yeah, and I think it's another place where we as parents get to model. If we spend all of our evening thinking about how we're going to grow our business or how we're going to get to work and get that done or how we're going to get this technology and enjoy this, if that's all we think about all evening, which there's a place for that for sure, then our heart isn't going to be able to be awakened to what is it? What is it this week I want to really pour into my child and take advantage of those moments to get your heart and mind ready before that situation arises?
Some encouragement in this is maybe for the new parent that's going, oh, no, I don't do that very much. Or I don't know, that doesn't come naturally to me. A great thing to consider is that when we practice something, I mean, we're just like, you know, a young person learn how to hit the ball off the tee for the first time. The more we practice it, the better we become. And these type of questionings and looking and having the lens and connecting with a dot, that's a great thing as parents that we get better at the more that we do. And so to be encouraged in that, we might have to practice a little bit here for a while. But once we get onto that, we learn to start seeing, these are some good areas to try.
And I think there's a lot of hope in realizing that we've done this a lot without the vocabulary that surrounds it that we're bringing down today. So we've been doing this, but bringing attention to maybe more intentionality in doing it, but also wherever our kids are at, today's a great day to start.
Oh, I think that's a great point, Matt. Yep. Just wherever they're at, thinking about the next step. It's not about where you think they should be or how all the opportunities you've missed. It's this is where we're at. What's that look like doing it right now?
Because every season of life and season our children are in cast maybe a different perspective, hue, or approach. But certainly they can be engaged in all of those levels. Now, you're the clinicians. You understand seasons. And I don't know if there's something to speak to that point about.
Seasons are a great lens also to look at our kids and to know that in some times and places where they're going to be wanting to ask questions all the time, others maybe they'll be a little more quiet or reflective. But to take the seasons that our kids are in and maximize their strengths that they have at that time. There are going to be things that are going to be tough for them. But to maximize your strengths and say, oh, I want to be aware of that and I want to capture that season that they're in.
Yeah. And as you walk through life, as your children age, you're going to see a shift or feel a shift of starting off pouring into them and talking and teaching. And then it moves into kind of more kind of watching. And then, you know, maybe down the road even further, then it's more listening. And you'll see that progression, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
And some of that progression, I would expect, comes with their just cognitive levels. So we speak to their cognitive levels, and I know from an education standpoint, perhaps a very young person you are feeding truth into. This is what the Beatitudes are. This is what they mean. A bit of definition. But that reasoning skill may be for that more developed mind.
It's wise for us as parents to just check our expectations. Like, you're going to have a different expectation for a 4-year-old versus a 14-year-old. And as you pour these instructions into their heart and you have this vision of where you want to be, like, you're not going to be there by the time they turn 6. You're not going to be there by the time they, you know, it's, yeah. This is a lifelong journey and you get to play a part in these first few years and, you know, hopefully you'll move them down the road a little ways.
I'm going to throw something else out there maybe to consider, and that is comment on the learning our kids are doing in areas. When we spot that they've put things together to comment on it, I'll give an example because I was just picking peaches with my son who is young, you know, 6 years old. And he was going up the ladder, grabbing a peach, coming back down, putting it in the bucket, right? Until he realized that, I could untuck my shirt and I could load my shirt up and then I could go down, right, and do it. And as I watched that from the kind of outside view, I saw him learn. You know what I'm saying? And it was fun to accent that. Oh, he's being creative,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He is problem solving here.
Yeah.
And encourage that. And I think that's done spiritually as well as practically, lessons that we want our children to learn. And for them to be stroked appropriately when that's done.
Sometimes we've inputted, and sometimes then we have to step back and let them kind of struggle a little bit and trying to apply some of that and trying to go to their memory and try to figure out what to do. And all sometimes we just want to jump in and fix it and tell them. And sometimes it's hard to step back a little bit and let them kind of struggle through something, but that's really helping them take their learning to another level.
And I think sometimes there can be a misperception for parents that if they praise their child or encourage them or notice those positive things, that somehow that's going to elevate self in their mind. But I think instead, really, it's an opportunity to say, hey, I see you. I notice you. God has created you with a wonderful mind that you can think things through. And again, just to point them back to the Creator and who He is and how wonderful He is and how God's working in them, it is really a joy when we can do that.
There's also practical things. We want our children to learn. I think a work ethic, for example. I mean, that is, I think, biblical as well. But,
sure.
You know, there's good financial stewardship. There's some things like this that we need to think through as well, don't we?
Yeah, and that's, you know, we want our child or children to be productive members of society and respectable members. And so, yeah, there's a lot of just practical day-to-day things.
When something doesn't go right, what do I do? You know, but to learn how to work through that, to understand that sometimes we're always looking for easy ways to do something. And sometimes just teaching about, no, this is just going to take hard work.
God has commanded through Scripture that parents and grandparents even train children. And where do we find that?
Yeah, well, I think one of the first places that come to mind is Deuteronomy 6, you know, and it has this place of parenting be kind of really a product of community coming alongside. And you've got this place where, you know, when you're walking and when you're at home and when you lie down and all of these places that it says, teach them, train them in the ways of the Lord. And that's really what we're getting at, I think.
I love the piece where it adds a teach them diligently, right? So that gives us a qualifier to the mom and dad heart to have to that. I want to teach them diligently. I want to be aware of that. Getting back to the stewardship that we've been given with children and to understand the intentionalness of that. And we can do that grudgingly or discouragedly, but we can also do it cheerfully and joyfully and to be thankful for the opportunity that we have been given to teach our children every day, every part of the day.
And I would hope that this episode in particular has cast a little bit of vision, provided perhaps stimulated our thoughts to think, ooh, I want to be more intentional. I want to be more calculated. I want to think a little bit more about this. Wow, there is a lot of optimism here. But I also now, as we can conclude this, the ultimate end would be for the salvation of our children.
Mm.
How much influence do we have? And this might be a trick question, right? But it's one that weighs on parents as we think about training and teaching our kids.
Yeah, and I guess as I would look at the scriptures, Matt, the thing that pops out to me is God never tells us as parents to convert our children, never gives us that responsibility, never says we're able to do that, but he says, here's the role that I've given you, and I want you to be faithful in that role. So that's where I would encourage parents is you be faithful to your role, and it's only by God's grace that salvation is going to come. But it's exciting to think about that a godly family is often a resource, a lens, a means of grace that God uses to convert the soul. And so they do have a great deal of impact here, but they shouldn't carry the weight of, oh, this is on my shoulders.
That's so helpful. And to think that God will draw on these lessons the whole life of the child, even after perhaps our passing, and to think that God draws on those. And so sometimes the gain out of the lessons that we teach our children are not seen or realized in our lifetime, or maybe in what we see. So God be praised for his working and investment in overall sovereignty, which is, I think, something wonderful to rest in. Mm. Thank you, brothers, for leading us through this discussion. And as we move forward, we're going to now talk about something very basic, very central, in order for the instruction to actually even make a difference or take place, and that is relationship. So we look forward to that conversation.